The Patriot Act is now the New England Patriot Act. You can collect a guy's data, but you can't deflate a guy's balls. Well, what do you know?
Live from Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Mike Arnold. In this hour of What Do You Know, we crown our longest listener contest winner, also all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who has actual crabs in his crabgrass, Michael Feldman.
Yeah. That damn land crabs. I think they're land crabs. We're on land. Why do they say land crabs? It's obvious he's on land. You know, so stupid. I hate that. Excuse me, I just lost my pen here. Got to cross these out as I say them. So, how are you? Pretty good? Anyone here from town of Ottawa? What are the odds on that, huh? What are the odds on that? What? Yes, town of Ottawa? How did I know that? Great to have you here. It is Town of Ottawa Day on What Do You Know today. So we'll be hearing a lot about it. Okay, in the news, Mike Huckabee vows to plant the double wide in Michelle's veggie garden in the fall. At least, you know, if the Huckabees get in there, at least, you know, the fence intruders will be stymied by all of Janet's laundry on the fence. Okay, so you say something about it then. You know, they did. They lived in Little Rock. They didn't live in the governor's mansion. They lived in a trailer parked next to it for quite a while. I'm just saying. You can't make this stuff up. All right, anyway. Okay, where was I? Hey, neighbors, you all hold your next offensive event at the Curtis Culwell Center in Garland. And we'll throw in the perimeter defense. Well, our little Jewish friends out there, come on down for Pull the Rabbi's Beard Night. That'd be on Friday night, of course. In other news, a galaxy 13 billion light years away, hardly worth thinking about. And next up on Bravo, Mike.
This week on Talking About My Generation. Wait, is that the right way to do it? You wanted me to sing it, didn't you?
Well, whatever you don't stop and ask
me. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. You know.
All right. Wait.
Come on. This week
on... Wait a second. I'll stop. God. We're going to get an announcer on this.
You're going to do this over?
Yeah.
We'll edit this out.
Next coming up on Bravo, Mike.
This week on Talking About My Generation, Kim tries to understand Kylie's lips bruises everything. And Caitlyn B. Jenner's epic first Mother's Day. That's coming up on Bravo.
All right. Okay, then. The Apple Watch gives enthusiasts lover's rash, so watch out for that. Floyd Mayweather wants $200 million to fight a two-armed fighter. That's a pretty good one, then. Okay. Smiley face. Get there. Floyd. The winning UK PM Cameron's call for a greater Britain brings calls for a uniteder states and a democraticer People's Republicer of Korea with a Kim Younger Un. He could be younger. I don't see why not. Whole Foods aims for the millennials with lowered expectations foods. The self-driving big rig semis now will intermediately eject a two-liter soda bottle filled with urine on interstate shoulders. An automatic ejection system.
That's kind of gross.
I don't really need a commentary on it. What are you, the rabbi,
sorry,
writing in the margins of the Torah?
Sorry.
I don't think so. You can mess with God if you want, but don't mess with my monologue.
Okay, sorry.
Ten Commandments was a monologue. You don't add to it or comment on it. Afterwards, you can comment on it. But no. Anyhow, where was I now? They really messed up my timing and everything. I was going so good. I was on a roll of one joke they liked. Where was I then? Oh, yeah, okay. That is kind of gross. Okay, unfortunately, the stabbed, robbed pizza guy took 31 minutes to deliver the pizza. So on top of everything else, it was free. Okay. Brewers are the first team in the majors to lose 20, but hey, they played almost 29 now. Okay. How about this one then? More highly educated women, for some reason, are having more children. Yes, who are likely to be more highly educated children. So it's kind of a vicious circle. Trying to say. Oh, okay. How about this then? The Clinton Heifer Foundation is under intense scrutiny. Clinton Heifer Foundation. Okay. Now you rattled me. Now you got me rattled. Okay. All right. I usually get this at home. You know, I'm used to it at home. That's when the phlegm comes, see?
Yeah.
Stage phlegm. I'm getting stage phlegm.
Typically happens about.
Can't you feel my heart pounding from your reaction? Okay. Alberta is a province in Canada, which is that place north of North Dakota you're looking for. With only 1 year of high school Spanish, and that at Delavan Darien, Scott Walker falls behind Rubio and Cruz into Trace Place. Thank you, Spanish speakers. 2 years? Who took 2 years? Spanish? Okay. 3 years? Okay. You got to applaud because, you know, let's try it again. 2 years? Applaud. Don't keep raising your hand. You don't speak English. That's the problem, not the Spanish. Who took 3 years of Spanish? You're still raising your hand, sir. Put down your mano. Siéntese el mano. Seat your hand. Seat on your hand. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, 4 years or more of Spanish? Why are you still raising your hands, though? Applaud. That's a lot of Spanish. 5 years of Spanish.
Cinco.
Cinco. Okay. All right, at 5 years, it becomes your everyday language, though, right? Doesn't it? So you can't really call it, like a foreign language anymore. Okay. 6 years? Okay. And what do you do with it now?
I use it.
Where do you use it?
Taking care of patients.
Do? Okay, excellent. Wonderful. Okay, good. All right, where was I then? Oh, yeah. So Rubio's in first place now, I guess, in the contest there. And so Rubio gets a Missouri Dolphins cheerleader wife and to be president of the United States of America. What a country, ladies and gentlemen. That's all the news that is. And thank you so much. That was not a disaster. It's honestly in how you look at it. And in fact, let's go through it again in Spanish this time. El acto patriado. Okay, I don't know how to say New England in Spanish. Angleterre. What is that?
Nuevo New England.
Angleterre. Oh, that's French. Mm-hmm. How do you say New England in Spanish?
Nuevo.
Number 6 years. New England in Spanish. Nuevo what? You can't remember England.
Englande.
What? How do you say England in Spanish?
England.
Well, it's Angleterre.
No, that's French.
In French, I'm saying, so there must be something Angloterre? What's earth? Land. Anglo-tierra.
Sure.
Got to be, I'm thinking. Well, we're all excited here. Are you excited there? Yes, you are. Come on, let's hear it for yourselves. What a great group. What endurance you have putting up with all this. But the exciting news is, and I mean that, it's time for the culmination of the longest listener winner. So this person can finally stop listening to What Do You Know? After all these years, they are freed from that circle of karma. That is What Do You Know listenership. And we have various people. Now, the problem is, so hard you read these things and people are testifying. And it's pretty nice. But it's hard for me to say, well, God, that's great. That's great. You know me. So we're going to read them and let you decide, Arnold and I here. And we have an applause meter underneath the chicken. Technically, I guess it's a hen. Well, it's plastic, so it's nothing, really. It's a piece of plastic. But that's an applause. Test out the applause meter. Watch it go up and down. Is the whoop working? Oh, there it is.
It works.
Okay. That's the sound it makes. So, okay. So, and then we're going to read these, and we're going to let Mike Arnold start out here. And then, you know, people at home, this is not even on, by the way, my monitor. Is this supposed to be a picture on this screen, or is it one of these?
Don't throw it. No, don't throw it.
What is this is like, where is this from?
I don't know.
Is that anything cheaper? Where do they make something like this?
It's a monitor.
Like yeah.
It's probably
where is it made.
I don't know. It's probably
it's all in some other language. Made in China. Okay.
Yeah, it's made in China.
Not even
yeah.
made in the good part of China though, apparently. But there's a good part and there's other parts. Outlying parts. They're just starting. What?
It's Ottawa, China?
Yeah, there's town Ottawa. Of Ottawa, China.
Yeah. We have some people. Hey.
Town of Ottawa is everywhere. Okay, now you got to sign in to our thing. We've got either Brad's, you sign in Brad's, the Brewer logo, or WPR there. Okay.
There it goes.
We're loading your personal settings. Yeah. What are they doing with my personal settings? Did I give them? When did I give them my personal settings?
It was quite a while ago. It was probably 25
Were you
years
there?
Ago.
Did you happen to see that? That's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. No. Well, I can't really talk about it.
Do they therefore own my personal settings?
Yes, I believe we do. Yeah.
They can change them if they want to. Also.
What? Yeah. Yeah.
They can change your personal settings.
Yeah, that's
your
true.
Preferences.
Can they sell my personal settings to someone else
yeah,
who might then
absolutely.
Use my personal
yeah.
settings as their personal settings?
Yeah. We actually use your personal settings to suggest new things to you.
I didn't get that memo.
It's like Google, you know.
I didn't get that
yeah,
memo.
Yeah.
What new things are you suggesting? The outfit?
Yeah.
I found a new outfit.
Yeah, those shoes, actually.
Shoes, yeah. I never wore these.
That's
and
how
I
you
miss
found
my shoes so much, I can't
right.
tell you.
So that's how you found the shoes?
They're Echoes, and they don't make them anymore because I went on eBay and everything trying to get another pair, see? Because they're made from, oxen hide. Water
Oxenhide.
Buffalo or something.
They're made from water buffalo.
Niblock. Does that mean something? Niblock hide.
Huh.
You know how rare the Niblock is? And you can't get them. And so I've been wearing them every day, at least for 15 years, probably longer. And I thought, I don't care. I bought a new shirt. It's for you. I bought it for you. Come on, a little appreciation.
Undies?
Okay. Anyhow, let's turn over to Mike now. And Mike, if you read the first one there, in the longest listener concert, finalist.
Did you have these in order?
There's no order.
Okay,
obviously.
Good. We'll start with Maureen Fares then. Yeah. She's from Michigan City, Indiana.
Maureen?
This is her comment. Listen closely because you'll need to applaud based on whether this is a good application or not. The addiction started in 1988. While driving home from a Saturday morning at work, I stumbled on the show on WVPE and sat in my driveway listening for the remaining half hour of the show. Since I worked most Saturday mornings and was on call for the rest of the day, the quest of finding a way to listen to the show started. I bought a timer for my tape player at home, which worked some of the time. Then I bought a portable tape player, which I brought to work so I could flip the tapes when needed. The staff thought I was crazy looking for the spots with the best reception and trying to time tape flips.
You're making it sound a little too meaningful.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you lighten it up a little bit?
Lighten it up. Okay. Trying to time tape flips for times that was not in appointments. From there, I progressed to a tape player with a timer that worked most of the time. It was so disappointing to come home and find dead air or a local high school game recorded instead.
It's disappointing here, too.
We later moved to central New York where I couldn't find a local station, but then it became available most of the time on computer, and this was great. Now I had a way to listen, but dial-up connections didn't always work well.
Yeah.
We finally got DSL and all was great, except when I had to work Saturdays. Eventually, we moved back to Indiana where I could listen on WBEZ from Chicago, but then they stopped airing it. I went into withdrawal, but then podcast came out. I was saved. Now I'm a faithful podcast listener buying the podcast through Audible. My husband and daughter have indulged me twice, going with me to Madison to catch a live show. Congrats on 30 years, Maureen.
All right, Maureen, let's hear it now for the machine. We are registering. Can you look around and see that?
I can't see.
Can't you see that? Can't reach around.
I think we need an assistant on this.
No, I don't think so, because the chicken's going to fall over.
The chicken's going to fall over. So I have to be the judge on this. And can you move that back a little bit so I can see the air signal too? Okay, you guys want to applaud for Maureen one more time right now? Ready?
What's the level on there, Mike? What's the level?
I'd say that's about 85, 90%.
85?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 85%? You want to stick with that? Okay. 85% yeah. For Maureen. We'll go through these again if it takes the higher ones.
Yeah.
Okay, now fun. I got one here. Thank you very much. these are shorter. I took the short ones.
Of course you did.
Anne Marie Johnson from Poinciana, Florida. I've only been listening to What Do You Know for the past 10 years or so. How could I possibly be the longest listener? Because I listen far longer than 2 hours a week. Almost every night since we moved away from Wisconsin in 2009, I have listened to the show, the podcast, while going to sleep and whenever I wake up in the middle of the night, which is frequent. Me too. I figure it's on at least 30 minutes a night, sometimes more, not counting all the years I listened live while we lived in Wisconsin. Does anyone else listen to your show almost every day, repeating each episode at least twice, sometimes more often?
Wow.
I know. It's a condition. Near daily listening for 10 years has to be longer than listening once a week for 30 years. If I get to attend a show, I promise to keep myself awake. That's Anne Marie Johnson. Your response for the machine.
That's a 95%.
95?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. That was a little
really?
Higher.
Did that sound louder than the first one?
It was a little louder, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Based on my scientific...
That puts her in the first place right now, but we got another one now.
Yeah. This is a long one.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just skim through it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Todd Giordano from Matituck, Connecticut, I believe. Maybe not. Hi there, Michael and or all. First off, a small gripe with my local public radio station, WSHU, out of Fairfield, Connecticut. Not that you guys can fix this, just sad. They made a series of programming changes this last year, and What Do You Know has been shrunk to an hour. I miss my longer version.
Who is this?
It's Todd Giordano.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Second, I was listening this past week and heard Michael talking about longtime listeners and anecdotes. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is any way I'm the longest listener since I only found the show around 2007, but I just wanted to take the opportunity to share. I was living a bit like a gypsy, mostly within the confines of Manhattan, working as a theater electrician. My hopes were always to perform or create a show, but I got sidetracked for a while, hanging lights. I had purchased a battery-powered 9-volt small transistor radio off of eBay somewhere during that time period, and perhaps playing into the mystique of radio, my love of the medium, or the romantic ideals of years gone by. I was seeing a girl, though I suppose I never had the courage to outright say that we were actually dating. She was a New York City native.
Jeez, you're getting into this. It's really disturbing. Very disturbing.
Wouldn't it be neat if we had music in the background, too?
No.
Really, we'd go for walks around the city, and she'd reveal tiny tea shops or cafes that I never knew existed. Fun dessert places, along with the oldest pizza place in Manhattan. And we were always good for cannoli from Little Italy, a frequent take-home snack after our adventures out in the city.
We were always good for cannoli.
Cannoli, yeah. Often in the evening.
That's quotable. I'm going to write
that. This is where, like, a little baseline would be cool. Often in the evening, we'd cook up a quick meal of sausage and pasta for a nice meal. Perhaps some Pinot Noir. Of course, rounding out the meal with a wonderful, genuine NYC cannoli. We'd be preparing the food and whatnot while tuning in the little transistor radio that could. I started to regard it as my magic radio, because you'd discover things that you'd swear were years faded and extinct. Radio plays would crackle to life, wonderful jazz stations playing all kinds of jazz. strange and bizarre radio shows, not always in English. They were in Spanish. 5 years of Spanish. Yeah, music, styles of all kinds, and all of that appearing through the fine control of the tuning dial, all the wonderful hint of static that we'd roll the knob up and down the station. Somewhere in the time, I discovered What Do You Know? And it's been a favorite ever since. Michael just plows ahead with the understated style of a workman who knows his skill set.
Skill set.
Despite Michael's self-deprecating style, I truly believe there has been such a talent and a knack for tying the show together. The show has become one of my favorites of public radio, up there with that other guy. Mm. I think he's talking about Steve Inskeep, don't you think?
Probably.
A source of inspiration and something that fuels my own creative hopes for some sort of outlet of my own, no matter how it may take shape. We gather so much along the way, it's hard to not recognize it's all inspiration or some sort of fuel to prepare us towards our own journey. Thank you for being inspiring in so many subtle ways. Appreciate the fun and insight every week. All the best. Todd Giordano.
Love it. Never been called subtle before. For Todd, the poet, Giordano. Welterweight.
That might have been a 98.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
boy.
A little bit higher.
Todd, the poet, Giordano.
Yeah, yeah. The music probably.
New York City cannoli man strikes again. That was very good and well delivered.
Oh.
It's hard to follow your act here, and we know it's an act, don't we?
Yeah, it's an act.
This is from Joseph Gennaro Espinoza Jr. in Denver. Who says, first off, thank you for your show. I may not be the absolute longest listener, but I'm one of the most dedicated. Quick story. I was self-employed, and my business left me with a good deal of downtime. One day, I was sitting on the couch and thinking about getting a part-time job, but it would have to be a really part-time job to allow me to work at my convenience. No wonder he likes the show. This is me. An old Leave It to Beaver was on television, and the episode was the one where Wally got a job working as a bicycle ice cream seller. I thought to myself, this is the first time anyone thought to themselves during Leave It to Beaver, right? But I thought to myself, that would be a good part-time job, having grown up with an ice cream truck in my neighborhood. I was looking through the Help Wanted in the newspaper while I was watching the TV, and lo and behold, Honest, there was an ad for a position driving an ice cream truck, and it was just down the block from where I lived.
Wow.
Synchronicity in spades. I got the job, and I was allowed to work weekends when I was in town. It was fun, but a bit boring at times, so I started listening to my local NPR station. Okay, we're getting to it, I think, here. Where I came upon your show. Instantly addicted. This was 20 years ago, and I listened faithfully every Saturday and on Sunday when they replayed it. Then all of a sudden, they stopped carrying your show. Don't know why, but it really upset me. I even called during their pledge drive and told them I would never pledge until they started carrying your show again. They hung up on me. However, thanks to technology, I found your podcast on TuneIn Radio, and now, once again, I can listen to your wonderful program. Yay for me. 20 years later, I'm still driving an ice cream truck on weekends. Me too. This is great. During the summer, and I am still able to listen to your show. Thanks again for your show and for keeping the music from the truck from driving me crazy. Sincerely, Joseph Espinoza. Can we see the response for Joseph Espinoza Jr.? Got a good response, Joe.
That was the first one that sort of went over 100 a little bit.
So went over 100?
Yeah, it was into the red.
Over 100%.
I think that's 100. I'm just making up numbers.
Well, I have a question.
How is that possible?
If there's more than one that's like 100, then how do we pick?
Yeah, good
question.
We could
do like a semi.
It's a good question. Thank you for that question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
What?
I don't know. Go ahead.
No.
Oh, it's my turn.
It's like Schrodinger's cat.
Multiple
realities. I don't
know
anything about that. Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yes, you got another one?
Yeah, Mark Steingraber. Okay. He's from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Round of applause for La Crosse.
What, are you running the show now? Jeez.
No, I run the applause thing, so yeah. I can do that. Having
well,
grown up,
you just press the button. You don't have to say a round of applause for La Crosse.
Oh, that's true.
That's the host's job to say something like that. You got the button there, and you got that air horn.
I don't have an air horn today.
That's perfect.
It's a good day.
Yeah.
Having grown up in a household where WPR is a radio staple, I'm pleased to report that three generations of my family have been among What Do You Know's faithful listeners as well as occasional audience members over the past three decades until death did them part. Looking for a good excuse to spend a fun day in Madison on my birthday, I attended my first What Do You Know broadcast on February 14th, 1987 in Vilas Hall. Having enjoyed this free event as well as complimentary tea and rolls from Victor's, I avoided the dart that was errantly thrown that day to live another year.
Wait a minute. Who is this?
This is Mark Steingraber.
Mark Steingraber?
Yeah. He was almost hit by a dart, so that's pretty good.
Okay. A Dodge dart?
No. No. Okay. I don't think so, unless you had those back then.
I had one.
I decided to make this journey from La Crosse an annual event. Thus, I returned 364 days later to attend the February 13th, 1988 broadcast with my parents, UW class of 1938 and class of 1940 alums, as well as my soon-to-be fiancé. Your conversation that day turned to high school reunions, who in the audience had recently attended one. My 69-year-old mother raised her hand, and you proceeded to interview her regarding the 50-year class reunion she recently attended in New Orleans. Having recounted bygone
events... I remember that.
Yeah, there you go. See?
I do.
Having recounted bygone events from her childhood here as well, she went on to introduce her husband and how they met in summer school at UW. My dad was repeating a calculus class. My fiancé-to-be and me, the youngest of four sons at 29 years old, her baby, who you quick-wittedly commented was, in fact, a baby with a beard. That was funny.
See, now there you go.
Sorry. As a keepsake of this event, we still have a stoneware crock with your likeness on it somewhere around the house.
It's
really?
It's a crock.
You have a crock?
It's a crock.
Wow. Testifying that we were, in fact, feted guests on your show. Right. To our delight, my fiancé's sister recorded the entire show on cassette tape, which we still have and play on occasion. Unfortunately, my mother passed away from a chronic illness less than 2 years later, just 6 months after we were married. She never got to meet our four children, who now range in age from 16 to 24, but due to that chance encounter with you 27 years ago, they now have been able to hear her talk and laugh with you in her northernized New Orleans accent, so often mistaken here in Wisconsin for a Brooklyn accent, yeah, and get to audibly experience this grandparent that they had never been able to personally meet. Since then, my wife and I have been able to take in one of your shows here in La Crosse, and in 2009, before our oldest child left home for college, the six of us came to Madison again to celebrate my Valentine's birthday by attending What Do You Know and enjoying burgers after the show at Dottie's Dumpling Dowry. Congratulations on 30 fun years. Thanks for these wonderful memories and those yet to come. P.S. Please don't host another show outside of Madison on Valentine's Day again. Mark Steingraber.
Mark Steingraber.
Another one? Okay. That was another one that hit, I think it hit
over 100%.
Do you guys think that's true? Did you look? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, over 100%.
So that was another 100.
All right. So we got some interesting results here. I got one shorter one here. Somehow I ended up with all the shorter ones. I guess cuz I handed them out. This is from Giselle Roche in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Dear Michael, there's nothing like a deadline to kick oneself into high gear. I am perhaps not your longest listener, however, I am your most devoted. Every Saturday morning here in Murfreesboro, I turn on every radio in the house. I turn every radio in the house off.
What?
Every Saturday morning here in Murfreesboro, I turn every radio in the house off at 10 a.m. and listen to last week's What Do You Know show via podcast. Yes, I do. This is because my fabulous local station, WPLN in Nashville, made the outrageous decision to axe What Do You Know, and in its place is another show I'll choose not to name, but that I deplore.
Mm.
Her words. I can't even tolerate its opening jingle. So I putz around doing chores, gardening, and staring into space while my ears are filled with ooh la la Michael. Ooh la la, yeah, two la las. This all began many years ago. I recall vividly Being outside with my darling toddling daughters, gardening away in my fairy garden made just for their imaginary pleasure, it had dawned on me, I love Michael Feldman. I should have let you read this one.
Oh, really? Yeah.
No, but you'd mock it.
I'm lovingly reading these
things. One day it dawned on me, I love Michael Feldman. I don't know much, but what I do know is that from 10 to 11 a.m. every Saturday morning, Monsieur Michael F. delighted my girls and me as we flitted around the garden playing with all the fairies. I'm thinking Tombstone for this one. It's a good one, don't you think? Alas, it's May the 2nd. I must now send this brief note of loyalty and gratitude. Keep on it. You are fantastic. Most sincerely, Giselle Roche. Murfreesboro. I can't say it, but, you know, there's an iron there. How did Giselle do?
I think that was around 85 to 90.
Okay. I don't care. She loves me. This is the love I've been waiting for.
Do I have two here I have to read?
What?
I guess I do.
You have two?
Yeah.
Which two do you have?
There's one at the bottom. Tim Wendland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can read both of them.
Okay. I'll start with Jan. She just gave her name Jan.
Okay. Jan.
Should I start now?
Yeah, I thought you had.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. This is from Jan from Wales, Wisconsin. This is to enter the longest listener contest. Mm-hmm. It is very likely I qualify as the longest listener or possibly one of the longest listeners. Here are the details. My youngest son was born on May 23rd, 1985, at Waukesha Memorial Hospital. I recall it was a Thursday evening. The next day, the OBGYN said that I should be prepared to go home on Saturday. It was the first cutback of hospital stays, or at least as it impacted me. I immediately quipped, "How about Sunday?" Which she allowed. Sunday was sunny and humid, and if I recall, it appeared there would be a storm. My mother-in-law had arrived to help with her younger children, and my husband had installed a window air conditioner. This was my third son. My first son was born in Duluth, Minnesota, and by late summer 1978, my husband and I and our first son had moved to southeast Wisconsin. In May, everyone in my family has a May birthday except for my husband, now ex since 1996. And when our second son was born in Waukesha in May of 1979, I ordered a gadget like the clapper, but it worked based on air and not a sound that activated an electrical appliance. I'm sorry. Okay. That activated
Could
an electrical...
Could you start from the beginning of that sentence again?
Yeah. I think I need some music behind this again.
No, I don't
A little
know.
Bass.
Start from the beginning of the sentence.
Yeah.
No, too much bass. A little piano.
Come on. I ordered a gadget like the clapper, but it worked based on air and not sound that activated an electrical appliance that was connected to a clapper-like gadget. When rocking, feeding, reading books, talking to the 1979 newborn, Mark, the clapper-type gadget was my extension to the outside world, and it was reactivated as an essential at the return home at the birth of my third son. When our third son was born, as described above, I believe that the Sunday discharge meant that the first, or maybe second, but I think first, what do you know, show aired on June 1. I am sure I was listening via the clapper to public radio while I was sitting in a rocking chair, rocking Joel and probably at least one of his brothers and feeding this new baby. Through the years, I've been a very regular listener, whether married or divorced, at home, driving, running errands, or whatever is occurring, like inclement weather, watching soccer games from the car. I also attended live performances several times, either at the Madison, Waukesha, maybe Milwaukee, including an anniversary show in about 1995 at the Wisconsin Union Theater with my children. There were times that I thought, what do you know, was one of the few things that brought a smile or laugh in my weekend as the marriage turned sour, but my children were always a special light in my life. I am listening as I write this, since there is now a deadline to submit. Happy anniversary, and soon it will be Joel's birthday, too. He and his wife live in Florida, and each of my sons and I will be celebrating our birthdays in May. Congratulations.
Whoa! Jen in Wales.
Does that look like 95 to you, or 100? Is it close? 95? Yeah,
95?
I think that's a 95.
Well, this would be the last one, then.
No, there's one more, too.
What?
I have one more. It's very short, but you go first. Or whatever.
No, the one that you have, I'm saying, is the last one.
Oh, is that it? So I should read that one?
Yeah. Well, I just like to explain that this is this farmer. What's his name there?
Tim Wendland. Yeah, Tim was on last week.
Yeah. Tim actually called in the last week. We were doing the last chance to get in the on the last, you know, long listener. And he was in the middle of a row of soybeans. He was on his tractor. And it was very interesting, actually, because he explained to me actually what was going on there on the row. And he said he pretty much just has to drive it down the row. And, which is why, you know, it was hard for him to call in while he was actually planting his soybeans, because they have to, you know. I mean, it does it automatically. I said, you know, if you miss one, you have to go back and get it. And he said, no, I don't miss them anymore. He said. So anyhow, he called in and said he was a big fan of the show. And I said, well, listen, you got to get in something, you know. He said, well, I can't do it. I'm on the tractor now. I said, no. I said, and, you know, when you're done, you get something into us, and then this is what it was. So it's not, it does, it, he was, it's better on the air, you know, but
yeah,
it's
shorter.
A summary kind of what he said.
It's still pretty funny.
Still pretty good.
Okay, this is from Tim. Michael, I called in on Saturday, May 2nd, and talked to you while planting soybeans. I think I have listened to you as long as you've been on the air. I also liked your TV show, although my wife made me watch it in the living room instead of the bedroom. Because I would wake her up by laughing too loudly. That's why she didn't want it in the bedroom. I hope to be selected for the contest. I think it would be awesome. Thank you, Tim.
Tim Farman out there, your soybeans, ladies and gentlemen. He's out there on that row.
Yeah, I think that's a 10 pounder too. That's how they talk in CB talk. Remember that?
No. What does that mean?
It's like 100%. It's over 100.
Okay.
So it's when that goes really
far. We got a runoff here, don't we?
We do. Yeah.
Okay. Between Tim, who you just heard, the farmer, the soybean farmer, and Mark Stein.
The Graber. Yeah, Steingraber, yeah,
Graber.
The baby with a beard, and his mother from New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah, and
that
his
was
mother,
a sweet story.
Yeah, yeah, mother, the story, and then Joe Espinoza Jr., who was the ice cream truck, right?
Yeah.
Yes, and I think those three. Okay, so we go through again and see how we're going to do this. We'll have to judge mainly by.
Yes, we'll judge.
It'll all be 100, right?
Well, you never know. I mean, the audience, basically, you can cheer even louder for the ones that you really like. If you yell and scream, this will really
all
push
right,
things.
All right, so let's start here. Joe Espinoza Jr., the ice cream truck story, and our long association through the ice cream truck. Okay, got that?
Yeah, there were a few peaks around 100, but it was mostly in the 90s.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Mark Stern Graber, the story about his mother was New Orleans. Oh.
That was a little higher.
That pinned my ears.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And so the only one left then is Tim, our soybean farmer. Sounds like Mark Steingraber.
Yeah, I think
it?
Mark is our winner. Definitely.
Mark Steingraber wins our longest listener contest. Mark, congratulations. I hope we can get you back here, and you and someone to accompany you will come fly you to beautiful Madison, Wisconsin, capital of the People's Republic of Wisconsin. And you'll have a wonderful time here, including things such as this.
Yes, a hotel stay for two at one of Madison's finest hotels. Complimentary transportation around town during your stay.
They didn't say which one, did they?
No, they said your choice. Your choice of a couple fine hotels. Mighty fine. And dinner at your choice of one of Madison's premier restaurants.
Like which one?
I don't know.
Okay.
A number of premier restaurants in this town. Yeah.
Yeah. One of many premier restaurants. You can only have one premier. And various other gifts and tchotchkes and stuff. Congratulations, Mark Steingraber. And that's for June 13th is when our anniversary show, or the Funny You Don't Look 30 show, will be. Mark will be our special, the Steingrabers, I guess, will be our special guest here for that show. And we also have Ben Sidran will be on there, my friend John Seeger from Milwaukee, and various people coming back over the years to have a little happy birthday party. And there will be a little something afterwards outside. Ice cream social or hot dogs or... Huh? How is that working so far? Yeah, no, but I mean, what is it?
Maybe
what is it?
Some gum?
It's still kind of
TBA. Yeah, TBA. Always talks like that. What? Hot dogs or something? I don't know. We'll come here and then we'll go out there. We should have a softball game or something. That'd be cool.
probably one of the local breweries are going to like brew up a special batch of beer that's called the Feldman Lager.
Yeah.
We're still working on that.
Okay. We're at loggerheads over it, though, so it's been a long dispute. What's this tune going to be here, then?
Well, you're talking about 30 years on
the air.
Wait
a second. Did we break yet?
We should break at some point. Yeah.
Okay. You want to break now and then come back with a band number?
I suppose we could do that.
Adam says no.
Adam says no?
No.
No.
Play
the music.
Probably broke right
just play that
what
music.
Doing.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. What's it going to be? I'm sorry.
1,000 years.
Okay. That's kind of long.
I'll try to keep it under that.
Condense it if you can.
Once again, Michael Feldman.
All right. Thank you very much. And, you know, we sort of got to rush through this so we get the quiz in now because we went along on the long listener constant. Went long, longest listener. You know, didn't want to do anyone wrong. But, for example... Well, you can do this. Aisha Durst, Platteville. What did the costume say to his fellow costumes?
Hey, guys.
I have so little time to use it on that joke. It's really nice. And I will mention that Scott Slousen from Waterford. Scott, where are you? Asphalt paving? How are you doing?
Good. Very good.
See your hands. You get them clean.
Yes, pretty clean.
What do you use to clean them?
Gojo.
Okay, good. Will this show be better than the last one I was at? No, huh?
The donuts and coffee were much better.
Okay, thank you. You got a whole donut. See, small crowd means big donuts. We don't cut them in half, you know, so you guys lucked out, and I feel good about it myself. I had some size of a hubcap, with the, you know, red jelly, hubcap, red jelly in the middle. And I will mention that Becky Slousen also, Becky Slousen, how are you?
Good, how are you?
The whole family is very important to the show here. I didn't say, okay, I'm sorry. Little Slousen? What's your name?
Finn Slousen.
When you weren't on the microphone, you were going, what's your name?
Finn Slauson.
Finn?
Yes.
Nice to meet you, Finn. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. And you're?
Sawyer.
Sawyer? Also a Slauson?
Yep.
Okay. You're a Slauson.
Yep. I'm a Slauson.
Daddy Slauson?
Yep. I am. Yep.
But you're a Slauson as well?
A Slauson also.
Slauson.
It's a whole row of Slausons.
Everyone is, oh, no kidding. Which Slauson are you?
I'm Chris. I'm the mom. Grandma.
All of them?
Mm-hmm. Well, some of them.
I'm Mike. I'm the grandpa and grandpa, father.
Okay. Libby.
Granduncle. Grandaunt.
What? Jeannie.
Mm-hmm. And you related to any of these people?
Daughter. She's my daughter. Libby is.
You're her daughter?
Yeah, right.
You look so young.
Yeah.
Okay, at the Slaussons, ladies and gentlemen, they're all here. And they're having a... It's not as bad as last time, but still... You know, we got a rush here, so I'm not even going to do the four disclaimers. We'll do that in the next hour if we get there. But I will say to you, who would like to play the What Do You Know quiz? A chance for you to win fabulous prizes not worth having and have them. Even though... What? Okay. Well, come on. I got that shirt. Come here. What, do you think you just qualified, mister?
I thought so.
You just walk on stage anytime you want to?
Well, it's my first time, so I'm...
Okay, and you are?
John Dorgan from Oshkosh.
John from Oshkosh?
Yes.
What do you do out there, by gosh?
I work for the EAA.
You do?
Yes.
Which one is that? Is that the
Experimental Aircraft Association?
Oh, you do? Yes. Oh, cool. Do you have... Have you got one yourself?
No, but I belong to the flying club.
How can you fly without a plane?
That's right.
Okay. John, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Well, I was outside the lobby staring at your books, and this might just throw me over to buy.
Could throw him over to buy. That's why we do it, you know. That's why we do it, to sell another copy of that book that's been plaguing me for years now. You know, I tell you to write a book, I don't tell you what to put in it. I did the best I could, you know. I just want to put this here. That's the results earlier mentioned. John, okay. And you're not working this weekend, I presume, or is there something going on?
That is correct.
Right? Yeah. What do you actually do for them?
I actually work in the events department, so we support all the events that take place.
Yeah.
At the AR.
When's your busy day?
July 20th to July 26th.
Yeah. I've never gone to it because it's crazy time, though, but it would be great to see.
It is amazing. We get about 550,000 people through the gates over the course of 1 week.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I really like you know, some of these guys, farmers and stuff, build their own planes.
Yep, home builders, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
They're cool. And at least they know where the field is to go down, you know. That's a good thing. Well, John, nice to have you here. Someone that plays along with you. How does that work, Mike Arnold?
Well, if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up their phone and dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WAC-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
That's the best that's ever been said. Scott Walker, we want to know his net worth as released by the Boston Globe. I don't know how they knew, but Scott Walker of Wisconsin, they released the net worth estimate here. And if you get even close to it, we'll give it to you. Paul's on the line here from Woodstock. Hey, Paul.
Hey.
Net worth of Scott Walker, presidential candidate, unannounced.
I'm guessing it's way, way too much.
Well, that could be anything, though, couldn't it? No idea?
Actual figures. I'm going to say somewhere $2 million.
Nope. Hi. Bye. Vinny in Chicago. Vinny.
Hey, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Vinny? Been a while.
Well, I should be the longest listener because I just sat through that bit where you read all those letters from the longest listener.
Yeah.
It's radio.
Radio. What do you want from me? Radio, you think, is that much better in other places?
It's well,
pretty much lists of things being read.
30 years, let's liven it up, Mike.
Okay.
Slap somebody around or something.
Slap, yeah. I need you to do that, Vinny.
I'll come and help you on the 13th.
Okay. Slap somebody around. Vinny, what do you think Scott Walker's net worth is?
Oh, probably about $250.
$250?
$250,000.
$250K. Yeah, still high.
Too high, huh?
Yeah, too high.
Well, I'll get low later and talk to you later. Okay. See you, kid.
See you, kid. I don't know who he is, but I'm nice to him because he sounds very scary. John's in North Richville, Ohio. John, did you happen to see that, what his net worth is?
No, I didn't, but I'll take a guess.
Okay.
$75,000.
Oh, boy, that's close. $72,500.
Hey!
Not including the house. He's got a lot of credit card debt. I think that's the wife. You know, I don't think it's him doing that. John, this is John.
Hey, John.
Yes.
Yes or hello?
Hello.
Okay, John, what do you do out there in North Ridgeville?
I'm a chemist.
You are? What sort of chemistry do you do?
Paint chemistry.
Oh, paint chemistry. Have you invented
any? One of the biggest paint manufacturers in the world.
Well, who are you then?
Who am I what?
No, I mean the name of it.
Sherwin-Williams.
Sherwin-Williams, you covered the world, John. You covered the world. Do they still use that one?
Yes, they do.
They do, yeah, it's a good one. Okay, John, and John is works with experimental aircraft.
Correct.
By training, what are you?
By training, what am I?
Yeah.
I'm a salesman.
You're a salesman.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, good. Have you ever sold paint?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I have made paint for aircrafts.
Oh, paint for
we'll
yeah, boy, that must be an
show.
Interesting market, specialty market.
Yes,
that's got to be important. Okay, so anyhow, and then how does this work then, Mike?
Well, we have categories: current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, chemist John. John?
Yes.
Of North Ridgeville?
Yes.
Your choice?
Science.
Science, it is. Okay.
Good choice.
Are you doing something? Are you mixing chemicals?
I'm actually painting inside a house right now.
Are you testing the paint?
Say that again?
Are you testing the paint?
Not testing it. No, I'm actually, it's just regular good old paint.
That's a little disappointing, John. All those years you put in there in the plant and you just painted it. Whoa, what is that?
That is a screen door closing.
Oh, boy, you got to put some oil on that. You must have painted the hinges on that door.
No, actually, I haven't gotten to that screen door yet. It's actually not my house.
Well, do they know you're in there slopping at them?
No, I figured I would surprise them.
That's really weird, John. Anyhow, what you said, yeah. Science?
Science.
Okay.
Science.
All right, ladybugs will trade sex for one of the following: a nice little waggle dance, larval mites, or a piggyback ride.
John?
Female ladybugs.
I would go
careful,
with...
Careful, gentlemen.
Yes.
Yeah, I would go with the piggyback ride.
I know you would, John. The question is ladybugs.
Yes. I was thinking number two, John.
Okay.
Number two is not one of the possibilities.
That's all. The mites.
Larval mites. He thinks larval mites.
Yeah, you know, I was going that way to begin with, but I think that's a good answer.
You can't pass up a piggyback, can you?
Right.
All right. That's right. Larval mites. They love them.
Hey.
They love them. You know, even before they're mites, they're little larval mites. That would be...
That is one right and zero wrong.
Okay,
and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, school, and odds and ends.
John?
I will take the school.
Experimental aircraft, John. School? All right. Is ALOL better than LOL?
Well, LOL sounds plural, so ALOL. John, what's your input?
What was the second one, AWOL?
Not AWOL, no. ALOL, A-L-O-L. Is that a better thing to say in a text than simple LOL, L-O-L?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I know Lyle says LOL all the time. Do you say LOL? Let me just say LOL.
Well, I use L-O-L.
Correct.
But is ALOL, A-L-O-L, actually better than L-O-L, or is it somehow worse?
It's your choice, John.
I'm going to say that it's better. A-L-O-L.
It is. It's all a lot better. It means actually lol or something. I don't know. Oh, you know what it is? It's a distance between A and L on the typewriter. So you put the A in front there and they say, that much. How I laughed. Okay.
Current events, people, places, and odds
What's
and ends.
What's left there, Mike?
Current events, people, places, and odds and ends.
Current events?
Current events. Current events.
Okay, current John. Events. Chemist John?
Yes. Let's go with...
I think the paint fumes are taking their toll.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's been a while.
What'd you say?
I'm starting to see those little bright spots in front of my eyes.
Yeah. That lead paint was good years ago.
Yeah.
That was the best.
I would think current events. What do you think, John?
I think that's a great choice.
The Takasakiyama Zoo in Takasakiyama apologized for naming a newborn monkey what?
Oh.
Yeah, it's a tough
one. Someone from the audience knows.
No, please. Oh. Please. They might be wrong.
How about people?
Sorry, we have... The people in Takasakiyama will be very upset if we don't use this now, because I'll get letters.
I don't even have a guess. John.
Newborn,
I think we should go with a different.
Newborn monkey. Category. What did you yell in the audience?
Charlotte.
No. Come on. Oh. How could that be? Charlotte, the little baby princess?
Yeah. Ah.
Duchette, the Duchette. Yep.
John, I think I like that answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to go with Charlotte.
Yes, Charlotte. They apologize for it. It was an honorific. Holy cow! They've won the
That's right, they did. And John, you'll make a bold fashion statement wearing the new Triple X, that's 30 in Roman numerals, T-shirt celebrating 30 years of live What Do You Know comedy on Wisconsin Public Radio. And John, start every day with What Do You Know audience enthusiasm, drinking Steepen Brews breakfast blend coffee, and later relax with smooth and tasty Costa Rican Terasu. From Madison's Steepen Brew Coffee, we know beans about coffee. And each of you can have nourishment and entertainment at the same time with a wonderful Eat Me fruit and nut bar in a box with games, quotes, and puzzles from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild, and then continue the fun playing What Do You Know party game, including contestants, cards, and the irrepressible Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
Nice job, John.
Thank you very much.
John, you're not so good.
Michael. This is PRI, Public Radio Internet. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulane on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Mike Arnold. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a Texas Town of the Week. Plus, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who has something the meta with his metadata, Michael Feldman.
That's not reaching. Oh, yeah, thank you very much. Something the meta with my metadata. And I just got to grab this here because we got the memos.
The data about the data.
The data is all here in the bag here. All my data is analog, I've been told. Well, you know, each week we read actual memos sent by actual listeners who have actual memos to send me. First, there's this, Outagamie County Bar Association newsletter. It's not really a memo, but I thought you should know. Due to some concerns over violent outbursts at both the February and March bar luncheons, Pullman's will no longer allow the OCBA to host its monthly luncheons at that location. The Bar Association. While the OCBA searches for a new host for our monthly luncheons, the April bar meeting will be held at the Taco Bell on North Richmond Street in Appleton. Attorney Alan Hoff of Hoff and Hoff and Hoff will be presenting on some topic. We don't know what that is yet. Your legal representation, ladies and gentlemen. Please RSVP by Monday. Parking stalls will be marked off at the Taco Bell. Please note that due to a technical error, all credit previously approved for OCBA luncheons for 2014-15 has been retroactively disapproved for legal reasons. Conversation hour, due to a general lack of interest in fun and socializing, the OCBA monthly conversation hour has been terminated, effective immediately. The OCBA is always looking for constructive feedback. Well, that's kind of an amazing document there. Exhibit A, ladies and gentlemen. Hoff and Hoff and Hoff and Hoff. This is a memo, isn't it? Yes, this is a memo. All right. All right. Well, it's hard to know where to start. I'll start right here. The physician you're attempting to contact does not have a fax machine, nor does he accept refill requests. His patient must make an appointment to come by his office for a written prescription. Call him yourself if you do not believe me. And here is just to that end from the physician, an actual MD. I'll read you what it says here. This guy's a doctor in psychiatry. And it reads as follows: IJDF, BS, Pharmacology, DDS, on the other hand, am a dentist. I used to be a pharmacist, so I sympathize with the pressing nature of the hectic day of a pharmacist. And would, rather than ignore the facts I've been mistakenly sent to me, inform you of the mistake and ask nicely for you to save yourself and your patient client some heartache and correct the contact fax information error for Dr. JF, whose fax number is non-existent. You have my fax number mistakenly inserted in his fax slot somewhere centrally. I've informed each and every one, store of his of this circumstance every time I get a refill request from one of his needy patients. But to date, not one of your 13 locations that I've communicated with has made the effort or taken the trouble to make this correction. Yet I continue to receive refill requests by fax for this psychiatrist. It's a dentist getting psychiatrist refill. I could see it. Pretty close. I may be contacting Dr. J.F. myself for professional help in dealing with the stress of the moral and ethical obligation to respond to these errant fax requests, attempting to be helpful and set the record straight for both you, CVS, and your patient/clients. But the time that it takes to return faxes for each client in every store is onerous. There's a word we got to use more often. Next time I have something onerous, I'm going to say it. What does it mean, onerous? Overwhelmingly heavy,
onerous.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
It is my sincere hope that some store manager or employee will take the initiative to actually make the call to the central office and correct and get this information corrected. I am now officially giving notice. I will no longer respond to the errant refill requests, and you, CVS, and your clients will simply have to deal with it without my aid. I've given each pharmacy the information necessary to make this correction. This one last time, I'll make this request of you. Please correct your prescriber contact information. We will not respond to further refill requests on this patient. Thank you. That's from the dentist. Turns out, oh, come on. Effort was made there. And the Bar Association, let's not forget them. Where can I send those?
Well, if you want to send a memo in, you can send it to memo or send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Okay, and all the news that is around here, a few things here. The biggest, of course, is the return of the Schmelt. Schmelt are back. Schmelt lovers. Oh, I love a good Schmelt. Those guys hang by their boots, don't they, over the edge of a bridge? With a net, pretty much. That's the best way to do it, I think. With the grill. You start the grill up. You got to be careful not to put the grill up at the bridge you're leaning off of. You're like, you could be leaning over a grill, is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? I mean, technically, you could. Or you could probably your hind end would be right in the grill. Anyway, after years of scarce Schmelt runs, people have been flocking to the shores of Lake Superior, northern Wisconsin, to net the little fish. Schmelt have declined precipitously in Lake Michigan over the last two decades. So there's a video here, but you can't really see it from this copy. I'll read you a little bit. This is kind of nice. From Meg Jones, the Journal Sentinel. A stunningly beautiful sunset has painted the sky above Lake Superior pink and orange, as if leaping from the palette of an impressionist. Pretty nice Schmelt picture for Schmelting. But that's not why Jake Moore and his 9-year-old son, Canyon, are out in a slip of land called Wisconsin Point. An almost imperceptible breeze comes off the lake, and the temperature is a balmy 50-something. Heaven for a spring evening in northwestern Wisconsin. But that's not why Jake Moore is out here. He's standing on a concrete breakwater wearing rubber gloves, pulling a large drop net out of the water every minute or so for one tasty reason. These guys, he said, pointing to plastic 5-gallon buckets filled with wiggling slices of silver, Schmelt. Schmelter back. That's kind of a nice picture. All you Schmelters out there. We had a Schmelt contest years ago on the air here. And we sent a guy from in Louisiana somewhere. I don't know where he's from. Louisiana, somewhere in Louisiana. Up to northern Wisconsin where a guy volunteered one of the lakes up there. Fence Lake, I think it was. To take him Schmelting. But by the time we got him up there, Schmelt season was over. But fortunately, the guy had some frozen in his freezer. So he threw those in the water, and they fished them out the best they could. But it's nice to see the Schmelt are back. This is from Eau Claire. It's a rather disturbing thing, but not as bad as it could have been. Eau Claire teen is accused of mimicking a YouTube video he saw by randomly jumping on the hood of a car and damaging it at an Eau Claire gas station. One car to a criminal misdemeanor, criminal damage to property. According to the complaint, the man jumped on the hood of a car while the owner was filling it with gas at 9:35 p.m. at Birch Street gas station. The man then jumped back off the hood and ran off laughing. An investigation led to this gentleman who told a friend about a funny YouTube video he'd seen and wanted to try it. Houston told police there's an internet sensation where people video themselves walking up to vehicles and other objects, shout, "Put them in a grave," and then jump backwards on the object.
Is that real?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem real.
It is. It's from the Leader Telegram, Eau Claire. Houston said he yelled, "Put him in a grave," and then jumped on the hood of the car. He said he didn't know the occupants. Okay, we'll leave it at that, I guess. And that, yeah. Oh, there is a thing in McGuanago. Anyone here from McGuanago? We have someone here from McGuanago? Yeah. About the McGuanago, to put on the field, you know, the Indians. They want to put the Indians' name on. That some people don't want the Indians' name on there. It's very controversial. So they put McGuanago on both ends of the field, and that's a lot of letters. So we don't know what will happen to that. We'll let you know. See, McGuanago, both ends of your field. So I thought that was somewhat interesting. Okay. That's all the news that is around here. And there's nothing more happening anywhere that we know of. But you know, somewhere across the greater U.S. of A, our country as we call it, that's right, a town, village, or burg somewhere nestled is our town of the week. Here is Mike Arnold to tell you about it.
Yes. Named after the, yep, you guessed it, famed non-baseball Texas Rangers, Ranger Texas is sandwiched between Fort Worth and Abilene on Highway 20. The Ranger camp was established in the late 1870s near beautiful Lake Hagaman in an Eastland County valley and was simply known as Ranger Camp Valley. In the summer of 1880, the camp deeded out the nearly 200 acres to Texas and Pacific Railway Company, and the population formally established the area as Ranger. Later that year, Ranger would name its first postmaster in general, James M. Davis. The town grew relatively quickly and forged a trade center with Stevens County, their neighbors to the north.
Sorry. I'm trying to write all this down.
Initially an agricultural town, write that down, agricultural, the area suffered severe setbacks during the early century droughts. Poverty-stricken residents urged the town to reach out to Texas Pacific Coal and Oil to test the area for oil. And in October 1917, while someone was shooting for some food, the McCluskey...
Up through the ground came a bubble and...
That's right. The McCluskey number one rig came online and the town experienced a mammoth oil boom.
Sound effect.
Ooh, yeah. Producing nearly 1,700 barrels a day, the McCluskey was quickly joined by 21 other drilling sites, and work began on a Pacific pipeline. Ranger was considered an official boom town and incorporated in 1919.
Oh.
There's a downside to being a boom town, though.
What is it?
Derrick fires, toxic fumes, oil field killings, and torrential rains dampened the mood in 2 short years, and the oil went bust. The Ku Klux Klan emerged from the wreckage in the early 20s, but quickly found opposition as they attempted to infiltrate local politics, and Ranger began to work on its post-Depression economic recovery.
Could you find a little lighter way of paying tribute to our town?
Well, it turns around. Yeah. It became a hub for goat and sheep ranging and crop cultivation, mainly peanuts. And the city opened up Ranger Junior College in 1926, which has become one of the largest employers today. So they turned things around. That's positive. The city has a population of 2,500 people and is home to Jesus Christ Superstar actor Ted Neely.
Oh, Ted Neely.
Yeah. Residents can cheer on the Ranger High Bulldogs, and that's our town of the week, Ranger, Texas.
All right. Thanks very much. Thank you, Arnold. We're calling randomly now to Ranger, Texas, and we have someone on the line here. Thanks to Lyle's efforts. Ken Charman is on the line from Ranger. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Are we catch you at a busy time, or you have a few minutes?
Yeah, I got a few minutes.
Okay. What you off to from here?
Yard work.
Yard work?
Around the ranch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What sort of yard work are you doing, Ken?
Mowing grass. We got a lot of rain here, so we're trying to keep up on, you know, the hot grasses now.
Yeah. You got a riding mower, or you got to do it by hand?
Riding mower.
Yeah, do a big one?
Yeah, I got a big Kubota tractor, 8-foot shredder.
8-foot shredder? That's a big lawn.
Yeah, it's 170 acres.
Yeah. God, mine's scarcely an acre, my lawn. But it needs work. It's got a lot of crabgrass. And you have Creeping Charlie down in Texas?
Not that I've seen.
Ground cover? But you get that switchgrass that Bush was always talking about?
Some spots.
Yeah, because he said they're going to harvest that and sell it for biofuel or something. Have you heard anything about that?
No.
No.
We're counting on something else for that.
Yeah. What do you grow on your farm there, Ken?
Weeds and fire ants.
Yeah, how's the market for that these days? Are they drawing a good price?
It's plentiful.
They're plentiful, yeah. I don't know if you heard Mike's description of Ranger Texas, a little bit of history and what's happening now. Anything you want to add to that? Tell us about Ranger.
Well, there's a bunch going on now.
Yeah.
It's part of the Ranger Citizens Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
That we got together to, you know, improve the town and, you know, people who care and want to see it do well.
Mm-hmm.
Some roadside park, the interstate about to open up. Of course, you mentioned the McCluskey Well site. We have a museum, of course, the college that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. We have a airport that's the third oldest in the state. It's got a grass field, and we have an air show coming up in October 3rd.
Oh, yeah.
We have a Roaring Ranger Day. We host the third weekend in September every year, so if any of your listeners are available then, stop on in.
Yeah. What is the nature of that event?
It's a big festival that we do. We try to go at larger each year. We have music, and, you know, vendors come in with either food or crafts and all that stuff. We have a car show and, you know, a bike run and all that kind of stuff.
That sounds great. Who's the big name will be performing at that, or do you have?
This year we booked Bed and Lace. They're called. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're a group that goes around like an old west kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
They shoot, you know, they have a little gun contest, you know, a shooting contest, of course, no bolt, but.
Yeah. Okay. Are you going to enter that contest, Ken? Are you a shooter?
Yeah, I haven't entered it, though.
Yeah.
But too busy taking care of, you know, vendors, making sure everybody's good and happy.
Yeah. So you got to organize that whole thing yourself?
No, it's the Ranger Citizens Task Force.
Yeah.
It.
Right.
You know, we put on and you know, it's part of what the group does.
Yeah.
There's a paid that starts it off.
What's paid? Ken, are you from there yourself?
No, actually, I'm not. I'm from New Jersey.
You're from New Jersey.
Moved down years ago, and it has nothing to do with the Federal Witness Protection Program.
Well, we heard some of that, but maybe we shouldn't have heard all of it anyway, so that sounds pretty good. So you're from New Jersey, and you sound like you're pretty much not from New Jersey anymore.
No, I lost the accent.
Yeah, most of it. In fact, I don't hear any of it in there. That's pretty good. Well, that's good. What brought you down to Ranger in the first place? Job opportunity or?
No, just better way of life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
More room out for the kids and all that stuff. And like I said, I have a ranch, so I got four sons. Just better quality of life.
Yeah. And do you raise livestock or?
Well, we did. We had cows and stuff, but then, you know, we kind of ran out of water, so sold the cows, and now we're getting some recent rains here that it's actually very beneficial. But when the tanks fill up, we'll get the cows back.
Yeah, okay. Well, Ken, I appreciate you very much taking the time. I know you probably got a busy day there going on, and we got a little something for you for being so nice.
Yes, we'll be sending you Golden Goodness in a selection of handcrafted cheeses made without artificial growth hormones, animal enzymes, or genetically modified ingredients from Southwest Wisconsin's Cedar Grove Cheese.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with those things. Those are good things. Thanks, Ken, very much. Ken Charman from Ranger, Texas, ladies and gentlemen, our Tom of the Week. All right, now, Mike, come on.
What?
What do you mean, what?
What am I doing? Oh, I have to.
You have to take the dart.
Yeah.
Graciously walk over to the audience and make a little small talk with them, meet people, and say, how you doing? Small talk, you know. There you go.
Small talk. Okay, we need somebody to throw the dart.
Take
Does the dart
want with
to throw,
you.
You want to throw the dart? Come on up.
Okay.
We have somebody coming up. I would push the applause button, but I'm not doing that. So, applause.
Get his name.
All right. What's your name?
Sawyer.
Sawyer? Yes, you were on earlier, weren't you?
Your family is dominating our show.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, do you have a problem with throwing a dart at this thing?
Nope.
Okay, good.
Do you throw darts, Sawyer?
Yeah.
Do you throw darts?
Not normally.
Okay, well
don't throw
we'll
it
give it a shot.
Normally.
Come over here and just
there,
aim in that direction and don't aim at me.
Wing
so
it hard.
Go ahead and throw it right now.
Yeah.
Whoa. Texas.
Let's see. Texas.
We
there we
never
go.
Leave
Do you want to come and see what it is? We can tell them what it is. Let's see here. Looks like it's
Universal City?
Yes, Universal City, Texas.
Sawyer, so I got a t-shirt for you. It's a little big.
Free t-shirt.
It's a Mustang t-shirt. You'll grow into it, I'm sure.
All right.
Sawyer.
Thanks.
Sawyer.
No, it's all right. Don't come back. I just meant it. Sawyer.
Very good. We should do something outside of Texas occasionally. Oklahoma, maybe, or whatever's next to that. Where are you going now, Mike?
Something you said.
What? Mike, are you all right?
You said something. Well, I don't know.
Did I say something?
Yeah.
Mike? What? Oh, you need some water. I got water here, Mike. You should ask me. Let me make another glass for you. Here. You okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm excellent.
Yeah, do you have reflux?
Not yet.
You don't?
Maybe
I got
in
it.
A few minutes.
I've got it. If you want to know how to do it, I can tell you. Well, how are you doing? Pretty good, Dan.
Did
you play that? What was that song you're playing earlier?
We're
going to
play it right now.
Are you going to play
that? That's from the Broadway show, A Funny Girl, The Music That Makes Me Dance.
Yeah, despite that, it's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
I'm good. That's water weight. I gotta stop drinking water. How do you keep from being original? Ruth Ann Hutchinson, Milwaukee. How do you keep... Oh, being original. Well, that's easy. Okay. Do you feel more like you do now than you did when you first got here? You know, some of these questions are a little difficult to answer. I don't know if you're trying to make it difficult or not. Oh, and these are the Slawsons again. You know, almost everything on our show has involved you or your family or your cards. And what?
That was my question.
Yeah. In fact, you had another one, too.
Well, that was his question.
Oh, whose question? Yours?
Yeah.
This is a good one. Did you have to do this?
We're going to do it.
No.
How do you move goldfish cross-country? I say make them walk. All right, they can't walk. Ditches. There's probably a drainage ditch in most places, and then you can portage in between.
Use a sailboat.
Use a sailboat. That's a much better idea.
Put them in a cooler and tow them in a trailer.
I like the way you think. I really do. That's Sawyer, right?
Yeah.
Put them in a trailer, in a cooler, and tow them in a trailer. Okay. All right. Well, I'll see you in a minute, I'm sure. The Slawson family. You guys should have your own show. Stop taking mine. Mark Browngold. Philly transplant, now living Winona, director of operations, Willie Street Co-op. Why are people in Madison so darn nice? That you? No. Oh, that's you. Yeah, and why are they so awful in Winona? You know, like polar opposites. Have you noticed that?
Definitely.
Yeah. You think we're nice in Madison?
Well, in Philly.
Oh, okay, wait a second. Oh, well, Philly. Philly is your comparison, you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, can I get you just to stand up here?
My first experience in Madison was walking down the street, and there's a bus stop, and someone was trying to get to the bus, and the bus actually stopped and waited for the person to get on the bus. In Philly, they would kick you, put you to the curb. The bus driver would make believe he didn't even see you and speed off. And I was like, holy moly, I want to live here for the rest of my life. This is amazing.
Because of the bus stop.
Absolutely.
And we give people stuff for no reason. What do we have for Mark?
Oh, man. Okay. Make any occasion extra special with fine Wisconsin wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
Unless you don't drink.
Oh, absolutely. I do. Yeah. You have to drink because you're from Wisconsin.
Yeah, okay. Don't say anymore. You're doing good. No more. You have to if you live in Wisconsin things. We've heard them all. Okay, let's see. Saw you having a donut this morning. How do you look so much younger in person than you do on the radio? Signed B.O.G. Big Old Gramps from Iguana. No. Not another lousy saucin'. So you're the one who started this whole thing here, this whole saucin' thing?
Yes.
Oh, he started.
Did you think about it ever turn out like this when you started?
No, no way. No way. No way.
You travel as a pack. It's like a cult or a pack.
Exactly. We're here as a group. We're missing two.
You are?
Yeah, yeah, we're missing two. So there's usually 11 of us.
Can we mention the ones we're missing then?
Yes. That's their mom. There's Josh Slauson, who's in San Francisco, and Jeffrey, who's fishing today.
Is he?
He's fishing.
Schmelting?
He could be schmelting.
Yeah.
Schmelting?
Josh?
Jeff.
Jeff.
Jeff could be.
Where's Josh?
San Francisco.
Because if Josh were schmelting, that'd be cool. Got the same schwa sound.
Josh is.
Jeff doesn't work so.
I can't even hardly say that.
Yeah. Okay. All right, now stop it already. I like them. I mean, I like. They're a very attractive family, and they're all really nice. Can you wish Hank and Jennifer happy 30th anniversary? Hey, Hank and Jennifer. From Steve. Where? Steve, Hank, Jennifer. She left. Sorry, man. Sorry, man. 30 years is a good run, though. Yes, I would know. Wouldn't I? Matt Nevers. Is a high school band teacher and a peacock farmer. Naturally, those things go together. Let's meet them. Here, let me just, excuse me, I'm just going to go here and then have you stand up. Which do you consider yourself more of, a peacock farmer or a high school band teacher?
The high school band teacher, I think. That's my main job.
So avocation, vocation sort of thing?
Yes. I teach in Mineral Point, Wisconsin. It's about 45 minutes from here. Yeah, it's a great little town. Go see it. But my little hobby that I raise money with is raising peacocks. Yeah. And I've done it for about 21 years since.
Is it the same group of peacocks? Are they genetically consistent peacocks? Or do you bring in new peacocks to mate with your old peacocks?
Yes.
Is this too personal?
No. When I was 13, I got my first one.
You got your first peacock when you were 13?
I kept in my neighbor's house.
Parents are just wonderful parents. They should have been parents of the year for that.
Actually, I lied to them on how I got them. I told them I was just going to get like a little...
Peacock followed you home from school.
Kind of. I told them I was going to get doves to keep it, build a thing outside. And I kind of moved them from my neighbor's house to my house. So anyways, 21 years ago, I got that first one.
Wait a minute. You said you were going to get doves and you came home with peacocks? Did they suspect?
I don't know. I think they kind of did. They give me a hard time about it still. But
where did you get the peacocks? Where does a 13-year-old go out and find peacocks?
Well, there is the Wisconsin Bird and Game Breeders Association does a swap every year. And I bought them in...
What do they swap for peacock?
Money.
Give them something else, like some a kiwi bird.
Oh, no. Nothing weird like that. No, like, kumquats or anything. But
no, I mean, isn't a kiwi a bird, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a little flightless bird, I think. But...
Have you thought of those? Kiwis are nice.
No, I don't want them. They're ugly.
All right, so you came home, and you what did you, how much did it cost you, 13-year-old?
$50.
Where did you get that?
I had a paper route.
Good man.
Yes. But
when you were delivering those papers at 5 a.m. in the morning or whatever, were you thinking, I'm this much closer to a peacock?
Not when I first started when I was 12, no.
But within a year, you must have been...
Yeah, my neighbors got them, and I liked them, and I'm like, hey, I want one. They said, you can keep it at our house if you feed it, and I did.
And so then, were you living out in the country then, I presume?
Yes. This is Howards Grove, Wisconsin, right near Sheboygan. And I went smelting with my family on Lake Michigan. Can't do it anymore. The smelter gone. It's sad.
After the country club went in there.
Yes. But that original one, then I moved to my parents' house, and when I got my job teaching Mineral Point, I moved it there, and it actually passed away about a year ago.
Again, they live a long time.
They do, and I have, actually, it's children, so I still do have the...
What do they call them, a clutch? Is it a clutch? Or what What do they have?
They're peafowl, actually. Yeah. And they have...
So we call a bunch of them... Call them a what? A bunch of them. A bunch of peacocks.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's probably what you call them. Like a...
I'm lost for words just a second. Yeah, a flock. Flock.
Flock.
Flock of peafowl. So, yes. And the chicks. The chicks are called...
Peahens?
Pea chicks. That's the chicks. That's what
that's not insulting?
Probably not.
We get letters from...
You might.
Female poultry?
You might get letters from all over the world complaining.
And what do you do with it? You milk them or something like that? What do you do with
it? No, I don't milk them. I raise the chicks, the pea chicks, and I sell them. And then I sell the feathers to area...
When they die of natural causes, you mean?
No, they lose them every July.
Oh, that's even better.
Yep. Each bird has about 200 feathers, and they lose them every July, and then they regrow them, and yeah. Full grown again in March. Yeah. And then
what do you get for a good feather?
Some $1 each.
Okay, then, there. Worked out for you, then. Matt Nevers, you deserve something.
Oh, thank you.
He deserves something for his efforts with peahens and peafowl and pea chicks.
A perfect compliment to Elegant Springtime Dining, award-winning wines Domaine du Sac and Prairie Fumé from Watershine Winery.
Huh?
Yeah, well, I'm going in order.
Okay, good.
Is that wrong?
Sorry, we got to give you one.
That's fine.
Nice to meet you, and I bet you're a good band director, too. Oh. What's the band working on right currently?
We actually just had our concert on Thursday, so now we're just starting for our Memorial Day.
What was the shining moment of that concert?
We played a piece that we pretty much had no business playing, but it was too hard, and it was great. The kids did a great job. It's called Midnight on Main Street by Timothy Broge. It's on the Wisconsin Class A list. It's crazy. In 10-8, 7-8, 9-8, 3-4, 2-4 time signatures.
Holy cow.
It's great.
What a man. That deserves another bottle. I got goosebumps just hearing those time signatures. Look at that. Whoa, those time signatures. There's a lot of them. Very good. Nice to meet you. How are we doing time-wise? You got time?
We have some time, yeah.
Oh, you found your horn.
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did.
Where was it?
Want me to use it?
No.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I got a hair trigger. I can't help it. I'm like, ready to do it, you know? Whenever I have the horn, I'm just ready to go. Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that we have to stop now, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay,
keep going for a little bit. Sorry, I just wanted to.
Lily. Lily, someone from Nina. Lily from Nina. Hi, Lily. Do you want to say hello? No, I mean, do you want to be on the air? I'll come over and talk to you. No, you don't? Okay. Hello, then. Nice to see you, dear. Thanks for coming. I will tell you that Lily from Nina plays games, dress up, and watches TV in school at 1 a.m. You watch TV at 1 a.m.? No, you're not up late watching TV. Okay. Wilson Elementary School in Nina, Wisconsin. That's who I'm talking about. Lily. And then there's Archer here, plays violin with my grandpa. That's the same family? Can I come back and talk to you?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. I don't mean to impose, you know, we've got this other family or anything I need family-wise. But, just, you know, the family, the last name here I can't quite read. It's G-A, what? Gall.
Gale.
Looks like the A-H usually go, ah.
Yes, but. Ask him. It's his name.
It's his name? You just married into it?
Yes, I just married.
Okay. What's with the A-H sound?
It's German. That somebody at some point took the A off the G-A-E-H-L it used to be.
With an umlaut? Was there an umlaut?
Yes.
That looks cool, having an umlaut.
I'm American.
You're American with an umlaut, I think. Archer? Yeah, stand up. Say hello. So you play the violin?
Yeah.
And with your grandpa?
With him, yeah.
With him?
Yeah.
How does that work?
He gives me lessons.
Oh, he does, yeah. You ever play duets together and that sort of thing?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Is that what you want to be, a musician?
Kind of.
Kind of, yeah, cool. And what sort of things do you like to play on it?
What?
I mean, what sort of songs are you? What do you like to play right now on your fiddle, violin?
The Two Grenadiers and...
Two Grenadiers?
Yeah.
And it's like you and your grandpa, two Grenadiers. It's way cool. Yeah. Okay, cool. And you're going to school in Neenah? Mm-hmm. And what grade are you in?
Sixth.
Sixth grade? How's that going?
Good.
Sixth grade better than fifth?
No.
No. You ruled in fifth grade, right?
No, my teacher was better.
Oh. Well, hopefully they're not listening. Okay, and we got something for Archer. No wine, please.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea, but I can give a book called Monkey Farts, Wacky Jokes Every Kid Should Know by David Borgenheit from Quirk Books.
Can you say that?
Well, I did, so
Monkey?
I suppose I can. Monkey.
Okay, well, congratulations and good luck with that book.
Thank you.
Thank you, teacher. Congratulations on the violin lesson. We're going to play another round of the Are You a Foodie? No, I'm an Edie, though. Sang on your show 28 years ago. Where's Warren, who sang 28 years ago on the show? Oh, that's your dad sang 28 years ago. Oh, just before I go back, I'll be right there. We got plenty of time, don't we?
Yeah, we need to do the disclaimer, too, remember?
What?
The disclaimer.
Yeah, he didn't do it. Warren, and you're teaching Archer?
Yes, I'm giving him violin lessons.
Is he good? Good?
Oh, he's doing great.
He's got a knack for it? Do you think it's inherited?
Yeah. I'm also giving Lily and Miles violin lessons.
Yeah. You can be like the family.
Right.
How cool.
It's cool.
And you sang the show 28 years ago? Remember what you did?
Yes, I do.
What was it?
I sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Well, I don't want to hear that again. Nice to see you again. Okay, that's the whole family there, the Gales. And we're going to play, but first we got to know who can and cannot participate. Yes, come down here. Yes, bring that down here. You've been waiting for this all day, I know. We've been waiting for you. And you are?
I'm Bob Lowe from Portland, Oregon.
Great,
Bob. Portland, Oregon. Do I have to read them in this order? Okay. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Are you trying to get me to read faster?
No.
Oh, okay. I like a patriot who can act. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Nice job. Thank you so much. All the way from Portland to read that. See the hands of those of you interested in trying the What Do You Know quiz. He was yawning. He was yawning. He was... Are you yawning? You're not yawning? What? You're volunteering him? He doesn't want to be volunteered. What? Do you want to play the quiz? Well, now he wants to. Oh, he wants to, does he? What? I don't know. All right, come on, if you want to do it. All right. Sorry, none of you guys got in on the quiz. I feel like I let you down. How you doing?
Good, good.
And you are?
Chris Doherty.
Chris, you from around here, Chris?
No, from just outside Chicago.
What is that?
Highland Park, Illinois.
Highland Park. Excuse me.
Yeah, where that other guy does the public radio show.
Highland Park. It's so nice. I was through there once.
Yeah.
I didn't stop. Chris.
Yes.
Give me one reason you play this quiz.
I am Canadian, and I actually lived in the original Ottawa, Ontario.
Oh. The town of Ottawa, Ontario? Ottawa! Chris! Oh, do, 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 do. So how are things in Highland Park?
Oh, great.
Do you work out there as well? Or you work
I work in downtown Chicago.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I work for a mapping company that actually does the maps for that self-diving truck that tosses the urine out the window.
Oh, the one that was going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure.
Well,
that,
I'm sorry,
but
I was just kidding. I was kidding. You know that.
Yeah.
I think someone's got to do it, though. And so, okay, that's cool. Because they had it on top of a dam, I noticed, when they broke it out. So, was that you were responsible for that?
No, we just have to place the dam in the right place. And in the
that's a lot of work, building a dam and everything just for a photo shoot. Yeah. Where was that? Was that big dam, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
You weren't involved in that?
No.
Didn't you map that dam?
I managed the internal.
Wasn't that your dam map?
Yeah. People say that a lot.
I know.
When they're using nav
I
systems.
Always, yeah. If it's obvious, I'm there.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you get that job? What is that? What were you thinking?
Very indirectly. Actually, I was working for a different company, and then Nokia bought us and decided to make us the map division.
Oh, that Nokia map thing now is a big thing that up for play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, so you stand to make like $1 billion personally.
Personally, yeah. Well, not quite.
Yeah, you can go up from Highland Park to something a little better.
Yeah, but being Canadian, they may pay me in Canadian dollars.
And oh, no, you don't want that.
It's like $53.
Gold. Just sell them gold. Or Bitcoin.
Right. Yeah.
You go with Bitcoin. And how did you develop, your mapping skills and all that?
I'm totally a techno peasant. I manage the writers and internal communications and training programs.
Yeah.
But
okay. Do you have any memos brought with you?
Yeah, a lot of really interesting memos.
That sounds like a good.
I'm just always accosted at parties, but your nav system sent me the wrong way. I have nothing to do with that. Yeah.
That Apple didn't use you. People did they?
No, original? No.
Their map system.
No. So, that's
drove people out into the ocean, I believe.
Well, actually, we did have an instance where a German couple thought we had mistakenly said a ferry route was a road, and they just drove off a pier into a lake.
They were Canadian?
No, they're German.
Oh, German, okay.
Yeah.
I can see a Canadian doing that.
Yeah, but they just drive on ice.
So. Yeah, because usually there's some ice, you know, on the roads. Okay. Well, nice to meet you, Chris. If someone out there plays along with you, and
yes, if people want to play the quiz, they're going.
Mike, are you still comfortable in that jacket? And you're all dressed up.
I'm fine. Well, I thought you wanted me to dress up last time. You said I wasn't.
Well, that
dressed
was different.
Well.
That was different.
Whatever. Anyway, if people want to play the quiz, you know what they can do? They can pick up a phone. They can dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO. Or 1-800-WHACK-NOW. It answered this qualifying question.
Okay, don't even think about an Apple Watch if you have what? You know, give us a call here. What's that number again?
That number is 800-942-5669.
You can if you want. You can wear them if you want. Just don't take them with you. Okay, because those belong to the EMU.
It's also 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
Okay.
Now.
Don't even think about an Apple Watch if you have what or what's? You guys know each other?
No. I want to answer the answer.
I thought you just hit it off or something.
No,
I didn't know.
He knows
the
answer.
It's cute.
Steven's
on the line here in Columbus. So, hey, Steven.
Oh, hey, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, got a busy day planned or got to be somewhere or?
Not until about 4, no.
Yeah,
what's errands good? And cooking.
What you doing at 4?
Meeting some friends from out of town at Hound Dog Pizza.
At where?
Hound Dog Pizza.
Oh, Hound Dog Pizza. How nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so not much going on, apparently. But don't even think about an Apple Watch if you have what, Stephen?
An Apple Watch. If you have a tattoo.
If you have a tattoo, that's right, on there, because it doesn't, did you know that? You didn't know that, John? Oh, yeah. You have a tattoo, and a lot of tattoos now go all the way down to your wrists now, especially if you're like a football player or basketball player or something. Get all these done. You have any? Mike, you tattoo? Take off your jacket. No, let's see what you got.
Actually, the whole thing has made me realize that I'm not going to get the sleeve tattoo after all. I was going to get a sleeve tattoo all the way down my... No, I'm joking. I would never do that.
You wouldn't have to wear a jacket. You'd have sleeves on
there. That's true. Yeah, I'd have real sleeves. Yeah.
All right, Stephen, very good. Tattoos are right. Do you have a watch yet, Apple Watch, Stephen?
No, I've never had an Apple or a Mac product.
Never? How have you resisted?
I don't know. I didn't get a smartphone until a year ago.
Really? Age are you? What age are you, Stephen?
I'll be 50 this year.
Well, you sound younger.
Sort of on the border of the digital divide.
Yeah. You sound much younger, though. You sound like 48, 49.
Yeah. Well, I am 49, so.
Okay. That's what I thought you sounded.
Rounding up.
Stephen, did you say hello to Chris? Chris, Stephen?
Hey, Stephen.
Hi, Chris.
Okay. That works for me. We have various categories, Stephen and Chris. And what are they then, Mike?
We do. The categories are current events. People.
Are you not? Were you texting during the show?
I was texting the producer. I wanted to make sure I was doing the right thing. So it was work related.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, the categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Oh. Stephen, you pick the first one.
Oh, I'll go current events. See how that.
Okay. Let's see how this goes. Removing no from your vocabulary for the night is the worst label ever for what product? They had little funny things in a label. One of them was removing no from your vocabulary for the night is the worst label ever. What product was that on? Is what he said.
Chris, I'm kind of at a loss here.
Didn't hear about this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Advertising blunder, I would say. No? Okay. I have to call time. That's from Bud Light. Bud Light label. Put it on there, and it's patently offensive. So that's
That would be zero right and one wrong. And the remaining categories are people, places, school, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Does the science question have anything to do with peacocks?
Let me just check. No.
No. Okay. No.
I wouldn't do science, Steve. Let's try odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Thank you, John. Must have woke up to that. Odds and ends.
He's in a drunken stupor from all that Bud Light.
Yeah. He believed the label. Babies learn best when A, tickled, B, peekabooed, or C, surprised. What?
Shouldn't we have a mother up here?
What? Babies learn best when tickled, peekabooed, or surprised.
I'd say peekabooed.
Oh. I've learned a lot from playing peekaboo with babies.
Okay, well, you're both wrong. It's surprised.
No.
Okay, you know, we haven't. I'm no surprised. One has lost in about a decade.
Yeah.
The odds are really against it, but
zero right and two wrong.
Okay, really, it's a downer, isn't it? I'm feeling down already.
We got the tattoo question.
That's right. Oh yeah. Wait.
Right. What? Yeah.
Oh, that was a qualifying question, though, wasn't it? So that doesn't count.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, the remaining categories are people,
despite
places,
that.
School, and science.
Stephen?
People, places, school, odds and ends, or science?
Science. No odds and ends. You already did that.
No odds and ends. Okay, let's do people. Let's go, Chris.
All right.
Aren't people taking this so seriously? Who's more likely to have a quadruple bypass? Polygamous men or monotonous ones? Actual medical records. Who's going to put that on their medical records? Why are all these women standing around your bed? Well, who's more likely to have a quadruple bypass? Who has heart surgery?
Yeah.
Polygamous or monotonous?
Monogamous.
I keep saying monotonous.
Well,
monotonous.
This is
going to take a weird direction, but I did read somewhere that men who have more sex have better hearts. So
which one of those would that be, do you think? Because I know what it would be for me.
Yeah, I checked my Apple Watch. Like, but
0-4, another 0-4 day.
I would think a polygamist, too, if that's where you're leading.
Polygamist?
No, I would.
Yes, polygamist is right. You think too much, Chris.
Thanks, Steve.
You think too much.
I do.
You do. You're an overthinker.
That is one right. We're coming back.
I trust you.
One right and two wrong, and we have remaining places, school or science.
Let's do school.
School, okay. Is a guinea pig from Guinea or a pig? Meaning, is it from Guinea, and is it a pig? Guinea pig.
You need a yes to both, or is it
I want to know if either one or any of those combinations.
Honey, we should have let the kids have pets.
It could be from New Jersey and still a pig. Or, you know what I'm saying? It could be or from Guinea and a bird.
I'm kind of thinking that's true, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm thinking neither one are true. Just sounds a little tricky there.
So you say neither one? So you're saying no?
Yeah. I say no.
It's neither a guinea nor a pig.
Well, what is it?
No, you're telling me that. I'm saying.
Where is it from and what is it?
Exactly. You're right. Neither one. Yes. Okay, this is getting exciting now, if you like this kind of thing. That would be... Mike, that would be a...
That would be two right and two wrong.
Okay.
So they could win the quiz, I guess, if they get one more, right?
You just picked up on that, huh?
Yeah. The categories remaining are places, school, and that's it.
So it's back to Stephen, I think, isn't it?
Didn't I just pick school?
Back to me. Yeah. I'll say places.
Oh, did you pick school? Oh.
What? Yeah. Places?
Yeah, that's fine.
In Russia, the price of borscht... in a year, is up by how much? Borscht has been rising in Russia. Is it up by half, three times, or stable due to borscht controls?
Really, a decade with questions like this?
What was the base price, the original one?
I'm sorry?
Well, what was the original price?
Yeah. What are you writing a term paper? I don't care. I'm just saying how much has it gone up in a year, Dave? They're having some economic problems there due to invading all their neighbors randomly.
Chris, what do you think?
Yes.
There's no points off for guessing. What are the three choices?
Once again, in Russia, the price of borscht in a year, pretend this is on NPR. In Russia, the price of borscht in a year has gone up by half, three times, or stable due to borscht controls.
Yeah, I think if it's newsworthy, it's got to be pretty high, don't you think?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Then even going up half would probably make a big
difference.
Oh, yeah,
that'd be quite a jump right there if you're used to a certain price for your borscht. Find yourself. This is to make the borscht, all the ingredients that go into a good borscht. That would be...
So,
I don't know what would go into a good borscht. Never had a good borscht.
Beets.
Beets. Potatoes, I think, go in there, and leeks.
Yeah, I'd
I'm
say.
Thinking onions. And
yeah, maybe half.
What else? Who makes a borscht
half?
Here? Anyone here make a borscht?
Yeah, Michael, half.
What? You make a borscht? What do you put in your borscht besides beets, potatoes? What?
Onions.
Onions, potatoes.
45 seconds.
Up by half. Yes, up by half. Unbelievable.
Come back. Yeah, you've won the Avenging Narwhal, the unicorn of the sea, made of hard vinyl with a detachable tusk, ready to impale a devious penguin, which is included from Archie McPhee and Stephen from Meditations on the Midwest to Reminiscence of a Life in Radio. You'll find these and much more in Something I Said, Innuendo, and Out the Other by Michael Feldman, including the CD My Life, the musical, as performed by John Seeger. Congratulations to both of you. What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. This is PRI.
PRI, Public Radio International.